Let's go to Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13, where we were yesterday. So did it make any sense?
Huh?
Did it make any sense if I was teaching on Romans 13, Revelation 13?
Did you say
15? go, just go wherever you want to.
Wow, that makes sense. That's what I do anyway.
I know this. Did anybody have any response to what we studied yesterday about the completeness of the blasphemy? That you're hardwired to do that. Anybody have any examples of blaspheming yesterday? What'd you do?
Well, I sat and listened to Bojo for a day and a half deal with the phone company. just incredible. You can imagine. And he didn't get pissed off. He didn't yell. He didn't throw things. He didn't kick anything. He didn't threaten anybody. And it really pointed out to me that right below the surface of the water, I'm this monster just lurking, waiting to strike out. And, made it very real.
Did you ever think about why something scares you?
Yeah. In fact, that's what I thought of. There's always the thing where in a scary movie where somebody's just kind of walking along illegally, and then this thing just explodes out. And that's what I thought about was, I make believe I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but in a nanosecond, this thing can explode out of me and just kill people.
You know, just like with drugs and alcohol, it cannot have any effect on you unless you had the receptors in your brain cells for it to respond. So can no fear come upon you without having those receptors in your brain cell. In other words, you know, that's why we say that if you're using drugs or alcohol, then you are filling those receptors with something other than the Holy Spirit, because that's, be not drunk with alcohol, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the same is true about fear. You know, you can say that, well, fears are learned. No, they're not, I don't think. I think that they're endemic to the beast. And what causes you and gives you fear is only something that reminds you of who you are. And so when you see the scary movies and you see, or some sudden fear comes upon you, or it's simply revealing to you who you are. And that's why, you know, the promise of God is that not even a sudden fear shall come upon you. Not even a snake. Not even a spider jumping out. I mean, that's pretty heavy if you think about this, that the scriptures tell us that no sudden fear can come upon you. Who would have ever considered that the response of fear should be repentance? That's why where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of God isn't, there is bondage. And everything and all of the activities of the human race that are, they're trying to be free from bondage, the bondage wouldn't be bondage if they were free. Do you understand what I'm saying? There would be no fear, no dread, no this ambient anxiety, what is it?
Free-floating anxiety.
Free-floating anxiety that sort of permeates the culture. Well, it's because of this. This is what's right below the surface of all of the human race. if there's anything in this book that is optional or selective, then it's probably not true. In other words, if it's true for some but not true for somebody else. And that's why when we study the beast and study Babylon, it's the mystery of Babylon, which has not changed. Just as the mystery of the world hasn't changed, it's the survival of the fittest, and you try to get, well, the response, Babylon comes right after it. Well, and now I'm going to learn how to do things better. And it's the Babylon it's the refuge of nerds. Because they're not fit. And I'm not fit, obviously, so I'm probably the chief of nerds. But I was fit at one time. For me, the only thing that was, the only rule was rules are for when brains run out. I didn't have the opportunity, as some of you did, Harry, to visit Babylon, or Gary, to visit Babylon and live there and love it. Because Babylon is the place then of cause and effect. Well, I can get by with not being fit by learning how to. And those guys that are fit, guys and gals that are fit, they're just jocks or something. And so now I'm going to get fit. Well, you're worshiping at the feet of the whore of Babylon.
I'll put on this sheep suit and make believe on it.
Well, it's just being them. I mean, it's just the course and the movement of self-realization, and that's why Babylon is just world of cause and effect. The world, Egypt, is the world of the survival of the fittest, and they're just eternal types of where his people are. You're in bondage either in the world or you're in bondage in Babylon. But come out of her, my people, come out. And this Revelation 13 and 14 really gives us the picture of Babylon. What? You're doing it again.
I was waiting for you to shut up. At the gates of Babylon, you're issued your white robes of righteousness. And then while you're in there, everything's fine as long as your robe is, you know, covering you. But anybody who doesn't, behave correctly or whatever in that arena, that's when there's trouble.
Except if you can see, then you can see here. The robe isn't white, it's filled with the spots where the garment is touching the flesh. That's why you remember what did the guy do right after they destroyed the Jericho? And the first thing that what's his name did, who is it that did that? We did a whole series. Huh? No, the guy that snuck some of the gold and silver in a Babylonian garment.
Achan. Babylonian
garment. Achan stuck this Babylonian garment and some gold and silver under his tent. And a whole bunch of the people died for it. Well, what's the Babylonian garment? The Babylonian garment is cause and effect. If I do this, then this will happen. If I figure this out, then this will over here will happen. If I don't do this, this will happen. It's the purest, pristine enemy of grace and mercy. But it sounds so damn good. All of you go to college, you go to school, you go to kindergarten to learn how to be a better citizen of Babylon. If you're, it's.
You know what's evil about it for us is when we.
Oh, I know what's evil about it.
And then I'll let you talk.
Just kidding.
Smart aleck. No, when we try and turn this place into Babylon, like if we don't behave and do our liturgies correct, and I don't interrupt you.
Never heard it.
Like brother,
the rest of that came out of there.
And I think something about that, if that's part of the Babylonian.
Well, the way you can find Babylon is just stop and think. Do you see anything wrong? You see anything that has a need?
That personal question. What do you say?
No, that's where that's your Babylon.
And that
that's what made me think of this. Because I hate it to think that, you know, we sit around and talk about this stuff, and then we turn this into the very thing that we despise.
That's why we are a body, so that you exhort one another daily. But if you don't exhort, if you are not exhorting somebody, if you see them do that, then you might as well just, there's a huge semi coming down and you don't tell them it's coming at them. And you'll have a whole lot of excuses why you don't say anything. I don't want to upset the apple cart. I don't want to make people mad at me. I don't want to be seen like another Oli.
Just like I told you, I'm going to, you're done speaking. You know, I mean, that matters. That's appropriate. That's the way you should act.
Because that makes you right. That makes you have a feeling of goodness.
Yeah.
You can sit in judgment. Is this making sense to anybody? Bojo? Did it spark anything? You're not going to share it. Okay, the beast had, and we, as I said, I believe that John saw himself as this beast rise up out of the sea is the human race, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. That's when you recognize that all you can do is be a blasphemer. Now, you got to recognize what Paul saw. I mean, remember Alexander and Hymenaeus? They were condemned by Paul because they said the resurrection is past. It was and will be, but it's not is. And for that, they were treated like, I mean, Paul said it had nothing to do with them. That's pretty... Well, he also says, you know, after the third admonition, reject. Well, the problem with that is, if I did that, then I'd have to... I would have had to throw myself out 50,000 times. But I just want you to come to this understanding that you can't just be lukewarm. You can't sit around. You have to see. But... But the only one you're going to war with is yourself.
Fine. I mean, yeah. But if you don't do that, then you...
Then you're just lukewarm. And you'll right. be spewing out of his mouth.
You know, this is really funny. The rest of that scripture come out of her, my people, is touch not the unclean thing. And that's part of what I was talking about seeing yesterday. What John was doing, the opposite of what I do, which is that unclean thing is there. Just the commandment is to not touch it. And when I start reaching for it, I just got to just drop it.
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Okay, the first beast is a leopard. He's got spots that can't be removed no matter what he does. He's most revealed in Ephraim, if you believe Hosea, because Ephraim is the one that's drunk on the wine of self-seeking. And so it becomes obvious, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, that you can see the spots of the leopard very pristinely. It takes, as I've said so often, the discernment of a pissant, unless you have no discernment.
That's an interesting parable that they use a drunk, because anybody who's ever dealt with a drunk, which we all have, I'm sure, you just can't.
Other people, of course.
I've heard.
It's interesting that you would bring that up. Because, forget, we've been together, what, 30-some years? Remember the time?
Drunk.
No. Gary is a nice guy.
Until he gets drunk.
Until he has a little bit too much of the vino. And then he's just a total pervert. But the whole, and it doesn't matter. I mean, he can be drunk at Passover and drunk in a strip bar. At Tom's bachelor party. God.
I'll never forget. I finally got Tom to shut up.
45 years ago.
My point of it is that you can live in the illusion. That's why the leopard is used, because it's no matter what the leopard does, he can't change his spots. So you can be nice, you know, when it suits you to be good, you will be good. And if you have been in this world of trying to make yourself something, then you will spend, you will have great tolerance. And that great tolerance will be your blinding. You will be blinded.
Yeah, this analogy between Harry and John, Harry being bad and John being good, it's not bad at all. John is bad as Harry, just he's, you know, got the same thing I do. He can walk through the bullshit and cover right. up his own book, his own stuff. Harry just can't cover it up.
That's why the sinner can admit spots of sin, but thinks he has done some good. When it benefits you to do good, you'll do good.
My leprosy is getting better. I did have one spot.
Then the other face is the face of a bear. His feet were as the feet of a bear. He walks quickly, silently, slyly. There's no apparent anger or hatred when you're just walking around and all of a sudden it reveals. Then his mouth is the mouth of a lion. You ever seen those National Geographic specials where the lion is just sitting there, doesn't say anything, everything is cool, and then, in without the expression of his face changing, no warning, again like the bear, but the verbal, this is the mouth of a lion. So the whole thing is that. And I'm not picking anybody when I say this, is that you keep all of it silent and have the right face on. But inside, you're ready to kill. And you kill spiritually if somebody interrupts your agenda. Now, some of the lions have lost their capacity to keep peace, but I mean, this is all of us. I mean, it's not, I'm not picking anybody, this is everybody.
Yeah, this is John the Revelator talking about himself.
And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, this is all in the past tense. He saw this already. It's already happening. It's not going to happen. Now, the only question is, can you see the same thing that John did? Do you see the New Jerusalem descending as a bride adorned for her husband? Do you see God is all and in all? Or are you seeing this all the stuff that's wrong? And it's a picture of these different animals reveal what you really are. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They don't even see the dragon. The dragon is not even in the picture. But by their activities, they're worshipping the dragon. Everybody understand that? And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's what you do in your imagination. You're Harry's superhero in your mind. You're just waiting for the opportunity that you will have an chance to show it. You are convinced that if you were just given the right tools, you could save, you know, you'd be the superhero. I mean, it's not just Harry, it's just so obvious with Harry. Jersey boy saves the day. But the human race wants to be in that position. And on all his heads and all his crowns was the name of blasphemy. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's the mantra of the human race. No matter what transpires, you're always, you know, if things were just different, then I would be the superhero. If I just had some money, or if I just wasn't short, or... That's what Harry thought all the time when he was growing up. If I just wasn't so short, then I'd be able to...
I hadn't met you.
And there was given unto him a mouth. Ah, isn't that sweet? Speaking great things and blasphemies. What are the great things and blasphemies? Something needs to be done. The sacrifice wasn't enough. Got it? And power was given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months. What are the 40 and 2 months? They're the time from the baptism of Christ to his actual crucifixion. That 3.5 years is the 42 months. It's another way of saying from the time you believe in him to live by the faith of him. It's a moving 42 months. It's a spiritual thing. Do you understand? For some of you, the 42 months have lasted, I don't know, 30-some years. Do you understand what I'm saying? The 42 months is critical, the 3.5 years is throughout the Scriptures, because that's the time from when Christ was baptized and fulfilled all righteousness until he was crucified.
So for us, it's the time period of fully seeing.
Well, it's the same thing that we always go through. It's the same. It's living, believing in him, and then living by the faith of him.
There's no.
It's the place to live by the faith of him to see that you are crucified, that you were crucified. I'm going to die. I'm trying to die. That makes sense. A lot of sense. You consider yourself crucified. When he died, the human race died. And this beast is the ewes of the world that has raised themselves from the dead, from the deadly head wound. And they've been all that beast has been masquerading as you.
One more thing about the comments you made about something needs to be done. It's nothing needs to be done except what's right before you to do in the moment. It's when you engage in speculation.
Yeah, but that has it, it's not a, you don't even think about it. There's no thought process. You just be.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to be done, if anything.
But there's a difference between doing or working it. To do, you have to work. There's a difference between working it and being. And you're going to make a jillion mistakes. But again, you've got this inertial guidance system that's pure, and you just, well, oh, I thought something was going on with me for a minute. No. I continue with him in his test. Oh, no, I fill up the affliction that is lacking in his body, the church. That's why we don't all have to do the same thing or be the same thing. We just have to have the same confession for me to live as Christ.
That 42 months is the length of our rebellion. It's the same 42 months that the two prophets are trodden in the street.
Right. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. There's no There is no people on the earth that isn't subject, that isn't this, except those that have accepted their death, that have seen the baptism as their death to fulfill all righteousness, and then you are dead. You're buried in baptism. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. If your dwelling is on the earth, if this is your home, then you will, and it's your definition, it is your home because you give breath to earthly things. If this is your home, then you are worshiping him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And if you're, we are, that's why it's so critical you understand, we are seated with him on the mercy seat. Our life has nothing to do with this world. But if you give importance to, give breath to, then it means you're loving something other than God. Looks like that's a good place to stop. Because I'm going to, when the next one, we're going to, the next verse is, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's go find out what it means to have ears to hear. This sounds like it's a big, you know, but it's really first kindergarten Christianity, because you can't even start the process until you've seen this. Otherwise, you'll continue to try to get it right and try to do better tomorrow and try to get this. That means you're still in the flesh, but you put Christ's name on it. Anybody else? Miss Joyce Santa, Rosanna Dana? I gotta go to bed. Take a big guy.